I want to speak this morning very simply on the subject of new every morning. And we'll find that phrase here in verse 23 at the start of our Bible reading. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be there be any hope, he giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. We'll end there at verse 36, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word. We'll bow again in prayer, and let us ask the Lord for help in the preaching of his word. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reading of thy truth just now. We praise thee that the Spirit of God himself maketh the reading and giveth the understanding, and also helpeth our infirmities, and giveth power in the preaching. And we pray now that the Holy Ghost will come, the Holy Spirit will fall upon us, and we pray that a highway will be made for the preaching of the word, along which it may run and be glorified. Prepare every heart, we pray. Give us the hearing ear, the understanding heart, and enable us to understand what the will of the Lord is. So bless thy word to us now. Remove every distraction and take away every hindrance. Wash us afresh in the precious blood. Sanctify this place to us. Make it the very gate of heaven to our souls. And grant our God that it might indeed be a time of enrichment from thy presence as we meet here today. For we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. In verse 23, we have the words, new every morning. To get something new is one of the most interesting and one of the most enjoyable experiences in life. The child with its new Christmas toy, and that's not long past, will have spent endless hours playing with it. And I'm sure that every new toy for every child is a fascination indeed. Likewise, if we take the woman who buys a new hat or a new dress. She is fascinated with that and will spend some time in front of the mirror making sure that all is right before venturing out in public. I see some of the men smile, and I must be correct when I say that. But not forgetting the menfolk. A lot of men get a new tool or some electronic gadget or even a new car. And it's a very pleasant experience. With the car, every speck of dust that lands on that new purchase will be carefully dusted away, at least for a little while at any rate. And the neighbours will be invited to look at it, and possibly bored with the repetition of all the special features about the new car. But with all of these new things, there is a problem. There's a difficulty. New things quickly degenerate. They quickly lose their shine. By the time we reach the new year, and now already 1 month into the new year, the child's Christmas toy is maybe forgotten about. And the woman's new hat or new dress will soon and quickly be replaced with something else. And the man's new car will soon show signs of wear and of tear. And eventually, the toy will go to the garbage bin, the dress to the charity shop, perhaps, and the car to the scrapyard. This is the way that it is. What a great contrast, however, there is to all of this, and as we consider the mercies and compassions of the Lord. They are new every morning. Lamentations, by its very name, is not a book of joy. It's not a book of great excitement. It is Jeremiah's heartfelt lament after the siege of Jerusalem and its subsequent fall at the hands of the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar had come and besieged the city and taken its people captive and destroyed the city and its temple, and all was razed to the ground. And from the beginning of the book, it is a book of mourning. It is a book of lamentation. It is a book in which we can hear the heart-rending cry of the prophet as he weeps over the city, as he weeps over the people, and as he weeps over the destruction, as he surveys the landscape and looks out and sees the people and its country. He's in deep trouble, in deep mourning, and in deep lament. He grieves over what has happened. Is it not a time for us to grieve and lament over the sins of our own nation? Is it not a time to cry out to God that God will come and intervene? Otherwise, we're headed for destruction, we're headed for ruin, and we're headed for disaster. May the Lord in mercy come and revive His people, revive His church, and bring about a great move of His Spirit once again. And as you read this book of Lamentations, you will discover that during this lament of the prophet, that a greater voice than that of Jeremiah is heard in this book. It is the voice of Jesus Christ Himself, plainly recognized from the cross at a later time. Because as you go back to chapter 1 and you read verse 12 of that chapter, you will see these words, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." And just as Jeremiah wept over the city of Jerusalem, many hundreds of years later, from the Mount of Olives, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself wept over Jerusalem. Did He not cry and say, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen would gather her chicks under her brood, but ye would not." Maybe here in Kilkeel Free Presbyterian Church today, that same lament could be made over you. For how often would the Lord have called you? Would He have brought you under His shadow? Would He have brought you to Himself? But ye would not. Oh friend, it's time to seek the Lord. The time is short, and you need to prepare to meet the Lord. Jeremiah was a heartbroken man as he considered the state of his people. And despite the sorrow of the cloud-filled book here, there are still bright shafts of gospel light shining through. As the old saying goes, every cloud has a silver lining. One of those silver linings is found here in chapter 3, where we have the wonderful words of the Lord Himself, words of encouragement, even in times of trouble and stress and trial. Verses 22 and 3 read, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Part of the problem with many people is that they tend to suffer from what is called the law of diminishing returns. We've seen that in the child's toy, in the clothes we buy, and in the instruments and cars we purchase. We've seen it that it excites for a while, satisfies and pleases for a period, and then loses its luster and its shine. As time goes on, we need more and more to get the same level of excitement that we got from far less in earlier days. Is that not so? That is why many begin to drink in excess, just to get the same feeling that they had with just one drink at the start. And it leads on and on, until men become drunkards and alcoholics. It's the same in the drug trade, and the nicotine, and in all the pleasures and sins of the world. It's the same thing. Oh yes, men dabble in sin, and sin seems to bring pleasure. But they soon realize they have got to go further in sin in order to experience that same level of excitement that they experienced at the beginning when they indulged in a particular sin. And so there is the snare of sinning. Men become entangled in its web. They become chained and fettered until they become prisoners of sin. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can set such prisoners free. We're glad today that He is able to break the power of canceled sin and to set the prisoner free. We rejoice in the gospel story, in that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood that we might be redeemed, going at last to heaven, saved by the blood of the Lamb. Tell me this morning, are you one of those redeemed by the blood, saved by grace, and on your way to heaven and to home? Ultimately, this same law that I'm speaking about can spill over into the life of the Christian. And it can spill over into the life of the church. You can recall, I'm sure, the excitement when you first came to Jesus Christ and trusted Him as your Savior and as your Lord. And now, with the passage of time, there is the danger of losing out, growing cold, and not experiencing that same degree of enjoyment and thrill that you once experienced when you first came to Christ. It would seem that the luster and the fragrance and the excitement of being a Christian has worn off. Is that not what happens in the experience of so many? As the years roll by, we get set in our ways. Christianity becomes commonplace, and the Bible has lost its appeal. The preaching services have lost their challenge. The church has become mundane, and we go on in a drudgery day by day, not enjoying the thrill and the experience of the freshness of the Savior every day. Thank God we are reminded this morning that His mercies, His compassions, His blessings are new every morning. And we should be enjoying more today than we have ever before. Christ, His salvation, His Word, and everything that pertains to the cross of Calvary. We should be enjoying it more because every morning God's mercies are new. Every day His mercies and blessings are fresh. Have you experienced today already the freshness of the Lord? The freshness of drawing aside and meeting with Him. The freshness of His Word. The freshness of His presence. The freshness and the thrill of the blessing of the gospel again in your soul. The Lord wants us to have that blessed experience. Christ's presence and Christ's Word often lose some of their excitement. Our experience becomes faded, and our relationship with the Lord can be dulled from time to time. Men and women go to church, they attend the services, and they go through the ritual and the routine. The scriptures are read, but as I've said, they don't seem to have the excitement of earlier times. The hymns are sung, but there is not the spontaneity of praise that there once was in times gone by. This is one of the reasons why many have left the Orthodox Church, as it were, for the more exciting and ultimately less satisfying fields of the charismatic movement and the extreme Pentecostalist movement. Because in the Orthodox Church, things become mundane and routine. And because it seems that far off fields look greener and more exciting, maybe exciting to the flesh, appealing to the natural man, but not any more satisfying, because in many of those fields there is falsehood, there is that which is of the flesh, and is not honouring the Lord, neither is it edifying the soul as well. Just imagine again, if I might return to the child's toy, to the dress or to the car. Just imagine if these things were new every morning. What a difference it would make. From January to December, they wouldn't lose their attraction. From one year to the other, they wouldn't lose their shine. They would not grow old. They would not show signs of wear. What a wonderful world we would be in. What a wonderful place this would be every year, generation after generation. But just wait for a moment, because that is exactly what the Lord promises with spiritual blessings. That is exactly what God wants you and me to experience. That is exactly what He's saying here. His mercies and His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Each day we have a brand new morning. And God never fails in sending a new morning after every day and night. And from the day we were born, we have experienced the freshness of every new morning. Each day is an individual, isn't it? We have had other days and other mornings, but there is none quite like the new morning which we have had today. And today we should be rejoicing in the Lord. We should be anticipating His blessing. We should be calling upon Him and longing for revival and for the showers of blessing to fall. This is what we should have an appetite for. And as we wake up in the morning, we get our breakfast and we go out for the work of the day. Well, surely every new morning should bring us a breakfast with the Lord and strengthen us and freshen us for the tasks of the day, to go out to enjoy the trials. Oh, there's not meant much enjoyment in the trials, but we can face them with the joy of the Lord as our strength. That's how Nehemiah faced them, and so can we. We can go out and face every day with this freshness of the Lord's blessing in our soul. And should that day hold in store some unexpected trial, some unexpected opposition, praise God, He will give the strength, the courage to face those particular things. Let us take each new morning and enjoy mercy from the Lord. Enjoy compassion from the Lord. Enjoy blessing from the Lord. we have come safely through, as it were, another night, and no illness has befallen us, no danger has happened to us. Thank God for this new morning. It is the Lord's Day. It is the privilege of His people to assemble in His house, to get together, to worship, to sing, to hear the Word, and to be drawn closer to Him, and to be challenged afresh to better Christian living, to better service, for a greater challenge, and to say, whatever it is the Lord has in store for me, that's what it is that I want to do. And that's the place where I want to be. The new morning brings with it fresh supplies from the very sovereign hand of God. We have new air to breathe, a new day's life to experience. Even our food is brand new and supplied just for us. The food we ate yesterday will not be the food we'll eat today. It's new every day. Thank God for His mercies, for His compassions, and for His blessings. We may have had similar things before in the past, but today brings new supplies from the hand of our gracious and loving God. Each new day also brings us fresh supplies of health and strength. And they seem to be in short supply with many, even at this time. But God gives us the experience to experience anew His marvelous and His sufficient grace. And whether we have good health or not so good, whether things may be rosy or not so rosy with us, through every experience, God gives us every new morning the fresh opportunity of experiencing His marvelous and exceeding grace and proving the goodness of God. Let us keep watchful throughout each new day, because the devil will see to it that there are fresh temptations and trials for you to face. He will want to try us with fresh sins. But thank God, the Lord supplies strength to combat every attack of the devil. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is efficacious every day to remove the very pollutants of sin. Thank God the blood shall never lose its power. We look to Him and we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Life is not always easy. In fact, for many, it seldom is easy. One of the great human weaknesses that we have is to continually focus on our problems, our difficulties, and our cares. And we cry out at times, Lord, why me? Lord, why me? David the psalmist experienced this feeling many times throughout his lifetime. And on several occasions he cried out saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And he brings the moan of his suffering soul to the Lord. He brings the complaints of his heart to God. You check the Psalms, and I'm sure you love the Psalms just like I do. And God's people love the Psalms. The psalmist was a plain man just like ourselves. He was a man who felt every burden like we feel, every experience that we experience. And that's why we find so much from the Psalms to help us. That's why we find so much to encourage us, because we're reading about a man who was just like ourselves, one of us. And as you read the Psalms, you'll discover that many of them start off in a depressed state. The psalmist in a very low condition, physically and spiritually. And you'll discover that as the psalm goes on, things change. The picture changes. And by the end of the psalm, there is a different note altogether. That instead of being cast down, the psalmist is lifted up. Does he not say, it was the psalmist who said that he's the lifter up of the head? Our brother mentioned that already this morning. And thank God if your head is drooping. God is the uplifter of the head. God is the uplifter of your spirit. He's the uplifter of your soul. He's the one who can strengthen you and encourage you and help you in every time of need. And praise God, His grace is always sufficient. Oh, let us meditate on the grandeur of our Savior's person. On the majesty of who He is. He is God the Son. He is the Son of God. He is the Creator of all things. The Sustainer of all things. And praise God, He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior, having come into the world to take my sins to the cross. And there suffer for me on Calvary. There He died in my stead and suffered in my place, that I from sin might ransomed be and praise Him for His grace. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have today. Praise God, we can meditate upon His person and we can meditate upon His work, what He has done for us. We can meditate upon His presence. He says, I am with you always, and I'll never, never leave thee. We can meditate upon His power. He is all power. Power to save to the uttermost. Power to keep. And praise God, power to put down the devil. Power to defeat the world. And power to give us the victory again and again and again. Let us meditate upon His pardon. When we think of our sins, what a past we had. What a mountain of iniquity had been built up in our lives. Think of the sins of the past. Oh, thank God for His pardon. Thank God for His forgiveness. Praise God, your sins and your iniquities. He said, I will remember no more. Oh, we have so much to meditate upon, so much to think about, so much to be thankful for. And when we think of all these things and much more, then thank God our lament will quickly change and become a song. Song of gladness, song of cheer, a song of hope, a song of victory. The depressed soul becomes glad in the Lord. David began to count his blessings after enumerating his complaints and telling about his depression. When he began to count his blessings, like the hymn writer, he was surprised what the Lord had done. His focus changed from himself to the Lord. Is that not the secret of victory? Changing our focus from ourselves and from our troubles and setting our sights upon the God of heaven, upon the Christ of our salvation. And as we focus on Him, the cloud will lift and the sun of righteousness will shine into the heart. When we focus on ourselves and upon our weaknesses and upon our sins and upon our lack of strength and upon our failures, we're like Paul. He said, "For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing." And that's true. Neither there is any good thing. But by the grace of God, we can, as it were, drag ourselves away from this all self-consuming interest in ourselves by turning our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the great things that He has done for us. And praise God, instead of being cast down, we'll be lifted up, and He will cause His joy to be our strength. Learn to count your blessings. Consciously think of what God has done, of who He is, and of His presence with you. Think of what He has done for your poor soul, and count your blessings. Remind yourself that the blessings of the Lord are new every morning. They're fresh every evening, and great is His faithfulness. We must focus upon the faithfulness of God. Keep in mind that God always does what's right. He'll do what's right by you. He will not do wrong by you. Good and upright is the Lord. And God will do good by you as you trust Him every day. God always fulfills His promises. His word cannot fail. When you think of Joshua at the end of his life, he testified that not one word of promise that God made to him had failed all the days of his life. We think of Elijah and Elisha and many others besides giving a similar testimony. Oh, Elijah became depressed, discouraged, and downhearted. But as he reflected and began to focus afresh on the goodness of God to him, he recognized that not one word of God failed towards him. Thank God, He is the true God of our salvation today. And remember that no circumstance in your life, no circumstance can ever catch the Lord off guard. We might be caught off guard on occasions, but there is no situation to which we come which will find God unawares or off guard. Be assured that He knows all about you. Be assured that His grace is sufficient for you. Be assured His mercies are new every morning. Be assured His compassions are fresh every evening. What a way then to live every day of our lives. What a way to go through this life, remembering the Lord, remembering His goodness to us, and remembering the freshness of His blessings every day and thanking Him for those blessings. May it be that the Lord will grant that. In verse 24, it says, "The Lord is my portion." The Lord is my portion. And I have a word here from the Bible commentary, the Speaker's Bible, which actually says something about that word, and it says concerning it that the Lord is the portion of His people. A man that has God for his portion is the rarest and happiest man in the world. The speaker's commentary gives this lovely little piece about that phrase. It says, "A man that has God for his portion is the rarest and happiest man in the world." Listen to it. "He is like the morning star in the midst of the clouds. He is like the moon when it is at full. He is like the flower of the roses in the spring of the year. He is like the lilies by the springs of waters. He is like the branches of frankincense in time of summer. He is like a vessel of gold that is set about with all manner of precious stones." The point here is this. You see that with God as your portion, what more can any man want? And with God as your portion today, with His blessings fresh every morning, what more can any of us want? What more do we need? We can have all that this world offers, but it will pass away. It will rust and decay. It will fade and rot. But the blessing of God is everlasting. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And thank God He never fails, for He is a wonderful and tremendous great high priest to His people, understanding our frailties, knowing our needs, and with that knowledge, able to meet every one of them. Let us focus afresh upon the great God of heaven. May God bless His word. Thank you.